Go ahead and grab your Bibles this morning if you haven't already, and open them to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Right at the very beginning, a very good place to start. I've heard that said before. In fact, maybe it was even saying, I'm not sure. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You see, God, our God was there in the beginning of time. He was there at the time that the heavens and the earth were created, and it was by His hand that the heavens and the earth was created. God made the heavens and the earth. And in fact, it starts out in saying, in the beginning, God, you see, God was there in the beginning. He was there before what we would call the beginning. Being that God is a God who has been immortal for all time, who has been alive from all time past and all eternity past, and will remain alive for all eternity in the future, God was there at the beginning of what we would call the beginning of time or the beginning of that. But He was even there before the beginning of time. Now we could try to analyze that in our minds and try to make good sense of that. How could God be there before the beginning? He is one who has always existed. He has always lived. Our God has always been in existence. There was never a time that He was not. There was never an era or a period of time where God was not alive and where He was not God. See, we have a great God who created the heavens and the earth. Go to Isaiah chapter 45. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18. Says this in Isaiah 45, verse 18. "For this is what the Lord says, He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other." You see, God who created the heavens and the earth, He alone is God, and there is no other God besides Him. There is no other God besides Him. In the Old Testament, when we find that word Lord, and we see that all of the letters in that word are capitalized, the NIV does us a little bit of a favor. It capitalizes all those letters. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That word, Lord, is taken from a Hebrew word, which are, if we take the Hebrew letters and turn them just into English letters, they would make the letters YHWH. We oftentimes use the word Yahweh for that. So here where it says in verse 18, "For this is what the Lord says," it would be, "For this is what Yahweh says." That word Yahweh or YHWH, that is only ever given to God. That word is only ever, when it comes up, is only ever going to be talking about God. That He alone is God. That He created the heavens and the earth, that He by His hand did those things, that He is one and that He is the only God, that He created the heavens and the earth. More than that, though, as we consider that, and again, if we were to take some time to just kind of meditate on the fact that God has existed for all eternity, that He's existed for all time in the past, if we were to try to consider that and think about that, we'd think about the greatness of who God is. That He created the heavens and the earth, that He took nothing, that there was nothing, that He made out of nothing something. He made the heavens and the earth. That God is this great and mighty God. And yet this verse also gives us encouragement in the fact that that God, that one God, the only God who did that great thing, who's awesome beyond all power, who's lived forever, He also is involved in our lives. The last part of verse 18, "He did not create it to be empty, but He formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other." You see, God's also intimately involved in our lives. In Acts it says, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. You see, that great God who's lived and existed for all time and will for all time in the future also loves us. It's in Him that we have strength and wholeness. In Him we live and we move and we have our being. Let's go back just a couple of books from Isaiah to the book of Psalms. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I'm going to look at verse 1. Psalm 121, verse 1. It says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. See that again, all caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. My help comes from Yahweh, the one God. My help comes from Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So again, that great encouragement that this one God, this Yahweh, who is so awesome to be able to create the heavens and the earth, He's a God who watches over us. He's a God who watches over us, who brings us the strength that we need in all times. Times of goodness, times of want, times of plenty, and times of difficulty. But that great God who created the heavens and the earth is all-powerful and has ever existed, intimately desires us and our wholeness, intimately desires for us to succeed, intimately desires for us to be able to live and be strengthened in difficult times. What a great and mighty God we serve. Amen? What a great and mighty God we serve. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Fifth book of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And then Joshua, Judges. So that'll kind of help you find Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we begin to find a little bit about the character of God and who He is. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 is known as the Shema. It's the Jews held closely this teaching in chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 4. That word hear, the first word in the NIV says, hear, O Israel. That word hear is the Hebrew word Shema, which is that listen, take close note, because this is important. Listen, Israel, Shema Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your heart. I said that already. And with all your strength. Sorry. Just really, that heart part, I guess, is really important. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. God is one. The Lord our God, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. There is one God, and He is one person. There is one God who created the heavens and the earth. There is one God who exists and has existed for all time in the past, who will exist for all time in the future, who's not able to die, who's not able to be in a situation or a position where He's not strong enough to be able to care for His sheep. There is one God, and He is the Lord our God. He is Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Our response to that, if indeed that is true, if indeed there is one God who exists as one person who has existed for all time and created the heavens and the earth, if indeed that is true, then our response is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our soul. Jesus affirms this idea. Go to Mark. Turn to Mark in the New Testament. Second Gospel. There's Matthew and then there's Mark. In Mark chapter 12. See, with having it up here, I can't go out of order now, can I? That's good. That could pose a problem. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, and this account of what had occurred, this conversation that Jesus had, we also find in Matthew that seemed as if somebody was trying to kind of trick Jesus and get him into a position where he would say something that they'd be able to criticize. And so in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, it says, "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?'" He's probably, though we don't know for sure, he's probably in a situation where he's thinking, especially of the Ten Commandments, of those commandments, and certainly there were many, many more, that Jesus had a whole lot of commandments to choose from or to pick. And he thought, you know, if Jesus says in this that murder is the greatest commandment, then I'll say, well, what about stealing? That's really great too. That's really important. Right? And so probably thinking that through, that, you know, I'll get him, because there's a whole lot of commandments and they're all pretty good commandments. So if he says one, I'll call him into question and say, well, what about this one? Well, Jesus gives a response that certainly he was not considering would be something that Jesus would say. Jesus says to him in verse 29, "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." You see, Jesus went back, instead of listing one of the Ten Commandments or mentioning one of those things, he went back to that great command and that great teaching that God had given to them. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your being, with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He went back to that and he said, this is the most important thing, that God is one, and that you're to love him with all that you are, that you're to love him with all of your being, with all of your existence, with everything that you have. So Jesus affirmed that truth and that teaching that God is one, that there is one God, and that our response is to love him with all that we are, to love him with all of our strength, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with everything that we are, to love him, to establish him as our God and him alone. Go to John chapter 17, verse 3. Here in John chapter 17, verse 3, and we're actually going to look verses 1 through 3. Jesus again affirms this idea that there is one God. After Jesus had said the things from chapter 16, he looked toward heaven and he prayed. So this is Jesus praying to God, and he says, "Father, the time has come." John chapter 17, verse 1. "The time has come. Glorify your Son that he may glorify you, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those who have given, to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life." Jesus says this, he's speaking to God, and he says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do." So here Jesus calls his Father, calls God, the only true God. He says, "You are God, the only true God. You who created the heavens and the earth. You who are Yahweh from the Old Testament. You alone are God. There is one God, and that is God." And Jesus recognized that. Now Jesus received his authority from God. He received that power that he had from God. He received instruction and teaching from God. All the words that Jesus spoke are things that he received directly from God. But Jesus recognized that God, his Father, was God. that there was one God and that's who it was. Jesus understood that the authority that God had was an authority over him. So Jesus isn't the one who created the heavens and the earth, but rather Yahweh, God, Jesus' Father, is the one who did. Next week, we're going to be talking about some of those distinctions between Jesus and God, some of those distinctions that are there between who God is and his character and who Jesus is and his character. But Jesus affirms this idea, you are the only true God. This is eternal life. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He speaks of himself in the third person there. Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is the one that says it. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 4. It says, so then about eating food sacrificed to idols, you know, that which we've been talking about all morning, food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords. The NIV here puts gods, makes it a small g. There certainly are many gods and many lords. We look and say, well, no, because we know that there is one God. We know that there's one God. How does this work? Well, the thing is, where the truth of the matter is, there is one God who created the heavens and the earth. As individuals, there are times that we choose other things to become gods in our lives, don't we? We choose things that become priority in our lives, and to us they become like gods, a small g. They're not the ones that created the heavens and the earth. They're not the ones in whom we live and move and have our being. But certainly there are times in our lives where we set up gods in our lives. And so that's where, here Paul talks about that. He says, for even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, because we choose in our hearts to establish other things before God, the one true God. He goes on in verse 6, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Now in the New Testament, Jesus is called a Lord. That word that's used for Lord is a Greek word. It's a kurio or kurion. Kurios, it has a few different endings depending on the grammar behind it. But it's that word kurio. That's not the same word that's used for Yahweh in the Old Testament, that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So in the Old Testament where we see that word Lord and it's talking over and over and over again in the Old Testament about that word Lord in all caps, that's Yahweh. Yahweh is not the same as the Lord that's mentioned here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. That's a different word that's being used there. Now again, next week we're going to look at a verse to give you a little teaser for you to read this week, Psalm 110, verse 1. The word Lord comes up two different times, both in the Hebrew. We'll look at that a little bit next week as we see through that a little bit. But here in chapter 8, verse 6, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, through whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. So that difference in authority, that difference in who those two persons are, that there is one God who created the heavens and the earth, his Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. After the two Corinthians is Galatians and then Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start right in verse 1. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now, Paul wrote this. Paul, who had also written 1 Corinthians chapter 8, also writes Ephesians chapter 4. He says in verse 2, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." So again, there's one God who is over all. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul again writes this, and he brings some real clarity to this understanding and idea of there being one God. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." So there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It doesn't say the God Christ Jesus, it says specifically the man Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus Christ, to be a mediator, has to be one who is able to go between God the Father and us as individuals. If he were God himself, he'd have a difficult time being that mediator because he's very partial then one way over the other. If he were a man who is sinful by nature, if he were a man who had sin in his life, then he would also be partial to man because he'd be on our side, if you will. But as the Son of God, who's not God himself, the Son of God, who was born not in sinful nature as the rest of man is, but rather born by the Virgin Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is able to act as that mediator, that go-between the two parties. He's able to act, being a man himself, but being one who has not experienced sin, neither by nature nor by choice, he is able to act as that perfect mediator that we have so that we are able then to enter the throne room of God itself. We are able then to be forgiven and be whole. Remember, there's only one way in which we can come to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? John chapter 14. You've got that on your Bible case, I think, Arlene. There's one way by which we're able to come to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. It's the one way. Jesus is that perfect sacrifice for us. Again, we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week, so I don't want to give away. I don't want to have nothing to preach about next week. So we're going to save some of that. If you didn't have an opportunity this morning, I always encourage you, the sermon notes part of the bulletin, sometimes it's really long and sometimes it's really short, depending on how much we have to cram into the bulletin. But there's enough room in there, at least, to be able to write some of these things down. If you don't have an opportunity to do that now or haven't already, we can make sure to set this up so you can write some of those verses down and you'll be able to take that home and study that through and see that there is indeed one God. That there's one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. To love him, to give ourselves fully to him. Let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. Great and mighty God, we recognize you as the creator of the heavens and the earth. God, we recognize also the great need that we have for a mediator. For your Son, Jesus Christ. He's the only way in which we can have access to you. He's the only way in which we can have salvation. The only way in which we are able to come to you. So, Father, we do come to you through him today. Thanking you, God, for your goodness, for your word. Father, continue to teach, continue to work in our hearts and our minds that we may know you. Father, we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.